Now we're going to look for a few moments at Psalm 148. And it's amazing the little nuggets that the Lord puts in these Psalms. And over the last 3.5 years, we've been blessed to go through almost every one of these 150 Psalms, getting close to the end now. There's maybe one or two Psalms that we bypassed because of my puniness to expound the text. I felt unable to do so, but most of the Psalms that have looked at, let me rephrase that, all the Psalms that we've looked at have been a blessing unto us. Psalm 148 is no different. I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 14. Let's read verse 14 one more time. He exalteth the horn of his people, the praise or the glory of all of his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The title of the message is Near to the Lord. Near to the Lord. God's people are. They're no longer estranged by sin. Our sin has separated us from God, he says in Isaiah. But now we're made nigh unto God by the blood of Christ. God's people are truly near to him because they're one with Christ. They're not only near to him, but they're also dear unto him. Near and dear. He loved the church and gave himself for his church. God's people are near and dear unto him. You remember back in Psalm 147 verse 11? Look there. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. He takes pleasure in his people. And then looking forward, Psalm 149, look at verse 4. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The Lord's people are near unto him and dear unto him. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He died, he laid down his life for his covenant people. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. Now again, we see this psalm, like the other concluding psalms, this psalm again calls for us to praise the Lord. All the creation of the heavenly host are to honor and praise and exalt him, and all those among this earth are to praise the Lord. He is truly worthy of all worship, all honor, and all glory. You remember from Revelation? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, and blessing both now and forever. Now, verse 1 and 2 again. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. All the heavenly hosts. All the hosts of heavenly angels are called upon to praise and honor and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember from our study in Hebrews chapter 1, where God instructs the angels, let all the angels of God worship him. All the heavenly hosts. God will have all the heavenly hosts honor and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds came calling, there was a multitude of a heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Repeatedly through the Psalms, the Lord is called, as it says there, all ye his host. He is called the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Heavenly hosts. Turn back to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 verse 8. Psalm 89 verse 8. Praise him, all ye heavenly hosts. Psalm 89. He's called the Lord God of hosts. Many times through the book of Psalms, we've seen this same statement. Look at verse 8, Psalm 89. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? He's the Lord God of all creation. All creation. Now back to the text. Look at verse 3 down through verse 6. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. He spake, and it was done. He commands, and it stood fast. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke all things into existence by the word of his power. For he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass away. God's word, his command, his decree doesn't change because he does not change. All the Lord's heavenly creation are commanded to praise the Lord. They do not fail because the Lord does not fail them. He is preserver as well as creator, ruler as well as maker. You remember from Colossians chapter 1, by him all things were made, by him and for him, and by him all things consist. They're held together. We've studied from Hebrews chapter 1, where it says that he sustains all things by the word of his power. He created all things. He's the preserver of all his creation. And created by the decree of God. Established by the decree of God. Maintained by the decree of God. The decrees of God are unfailing, aren't they? The decrees of God are unchanging. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Remember from Isaiah 46, God said, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I will also do it. God's decrees, his mandates, his command, it shall not fail. It shall not change. Not at all. Now look at verse 7 down through verse 10. I'm working my way down to verse 14. Verse 7 down through verse 10. Praise ye the Lord from the earth now. He calls all the heavenly host to praise the Lord, and all of the creation to praise the Lord. And then it says for the earth to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the earth. Those among or upon the earth, ye dragons, the deep sea creatures, and all deeps, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. The stormy wind fulfills his word. Mountains and hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things, flying things. And then he gets down to the kings of the earth, verse 11. All the Lord's earthly creation are commanded to praise the Lord. You remember from Psalm 147, verse 15, he sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth, his word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool, he scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes, he casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. God is a God of creation, and he's a God of all the elements. I get right perturbed when I hear weathermen talking about old man winter and Mother Nature. God is creator of all things. He sends his snow. He sends his wind, the ice, the storm. I like this phrase, the stormy wind fulfilling his word. March 2nd last year, some folks in eastern Kentucky got a taste of a stormy wind, that tornado. In the book of Nahum, we read this: the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind. It's his wind. He sends the wind, it says in the book of Psalms, out of his treasury. He has a treasure house full of wind, and sometimes he opens the door and but it's fulfilling his word. It's fulfilling his word. Last but not least, he talks about man, kings of the earth, and all people, princes, and all judges, both young men, maidens, old men, children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heavens. God created all things. And then that last day, the sixth day, he created man in his image, in his own likeness. God created Adam upright and holy. We know the sad story. Adam fell, plunged all of us into sin and ruin. But all people of our race, even in our fallen, sinful, guilty condition, are to praise the Lord and give him all the honor and glory. He mentions there in verse 11, kings of the earth and princes and all people, judges of the earth. They rule. I wonder how many rulers realize this. They rule by the Lord's decree. He sets them up and he brings them down according to his own will. They rule by his decree. They're in his hand to do, in his hand to do with them what he sees fit. You remember Proverbs 21? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar? He thought he was really something. He thought he was somebody, this great Babylon that I've built. Well, God put him out in the pasture. And he took his understanding away from him, and he became like a wild beast. His hair, his claws, his fingernails like claws. And God just put him out there like a wild animal and left him to himself. And then one day God visited him and taught him something of his character. And Nebuchadnezzar testified and said, he doeth according to his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what doest thou? Maybe some of the kings and judges of the earth in our day need to be put out in the pasture for a while, that the Lord God would teach them that they rule by his decree. He's not in their hand. They are in his hand. He raises them up. He promotes them, not by chance, but by his purpose, who sets kings up and puts them down at his pleasure. For it is by him kings reign and princes decree justice, by the Lord alone. Now look at verse 13, rather verse 12. Both young men and young women, old men and children, praise the name of the Lord. You see, you kind of get the idea. Everything is to praise and honor our great God. He's worthy of it. the young men, the young women, the old men and children, let them honor the Lord. I think of this scripture. Sometime when you are looking for something to read, read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It talks about our youth, and then it talks about the frailties of the body and how the body goes back to the dust and the spirit returned unto the Lord. But in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 12, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Remember now, right now, while the evil days come not, talking about the days of old age, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, "I have no pleasure in them." Those days are coming for this old body. The Lord's pleased to let it tarry upon the earth. Old men, it mentions there, old men, that is elders in the faith, old believers, ought to be an example of encouragement to the young people about the blessedness of the gospel in the way of grace in Christ Jesus, and to teach the young people to praise the Lord and to honor the Lord, and to encourage the young people to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Older people ought to be an encouragement to the young people, shouldn't they? Well, certainly they should. We shouldn't try to discourage young people. We should encourage them in the way of grace. Verse 13, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone." Now, His name alone is exalted. The name of the Lord. Now, we could bring a whole message just on the name of the Lord. His glory is above the earth. His glory is above the heaven. His name is excellent. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and His government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is excellent. Turn over here to way back to Psalm number 8. There's a reference there to Psalm number 8 at verse 1. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." His name is excellent. Above all the earth, He has a most excellent name. God had given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is none like unto the Lord. There's none like Him. He said, "I am God, beside me there is no other." There's none like the Lord. None that for a moment can be compared unto Him. His unique name has monopoly on all praise. The Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord. He's Lord, not by something we do. He's Lord by the eternal decree of God. He is called the Lord Jesus, who shall save His people from their sin. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed of God Almighty. His glory, it says in the text, is above all the earth. Nothing in heaven or earth surpasses His glory. Christ is called the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. The glory of God shines where? In the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. And heaven. Now, look at verse 14. "He also exalteth the horn of His people." The Lord God Almighty has a people. These are a covenant people, a chosen people, a redeemed people. "He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto Him." Now praise ye the Lord. Now we see at least five things in verse 14. Let me give them to you. What he does, we see first of all what he does for his people. He exalts his people. Secondly, what he makes them saints. Who they are, they're called children of Israel. Where they are, they're near unto him. And what they do, they praise the Lord. Now let's see if we can work on those five things for about 20 minutes. What the Lord does for his covenant people. Now he has a people. He has a people chosen by sovereign grace and given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that eternal covenant of grace. The Lord has a people. We're chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And what does the Lord do for his covenant people? Everything. He saves them, redeems them, and exalts them. You see what it says there? He also exalteth the horn of his people. The power of his people. What is the power of his people in salvation? It's Christ, isn't it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. He exalts them and lifts them in Christ, who is the power and authority of our salvation. He exalts us in our head, in our representative. He exalts us in Christ Jesus. Look back at Psalm 147 verse 6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He lifts us up. We were cast down and cast out. He lifts us by the horn of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It is Christ alone who does this lifting, this exalting. Look back at Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Verse 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the dunghill. Now, you know what a dunghill is? It's a manure pile. He lifts us out of the dunghill of sin and depravity and guilt, that he may set him with the princes, even the princes of his people, exalted and lifted and blessed in Christ Jesus. The only reason of our salvation is found totally in him. The reason of mercy is found in him. The reason of grace is found in him. The reason of love is found in him. We love him only because he has exalted us in Christ Jesus and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he exalts us in Christ. He exalteth his people. He lifts them up. Secondly, what he makes them. What he makes them. His people. The praise of all his saints. The glory of all his saints. Now, who is a saint? You look through the Bible, and it says, when you get over to the Gospels, it says Saint Matthew. And you get over there to Luke, and it says Saint Luke. And you get over to John, Mark, Saint John. Those apostles were saints. I'm going to shock you now. Every sinner saved by the grace of God is a saint. That's right. Every sinner saved by the grace of God is a saint. What the Lord makes those people that he lifts from the dunghill of sin, he makes them saints. Sinners are made saints. in Christ Jesus. You're looking at St. Thomas. You didn't know I was a saint, did you? I'm looking at some saints out there. St. Lyme, St. David. You see, believers are sanctified in the Lord. That's what a saint is. Set apart by the Lord. They're sanctified. Every believer is a saint. Now, this will help you. It's been a few years since we've been over this, but we've done this before, but it'll be a help to you. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, find the book of Revelation and then the little book of Jude right before it. Jude, we say chapter 1. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, set apart by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So we're sanctified, first of all, by God the Father. He set us apart in that eternal covenant of grace. Secondly, find 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. By the one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Remember, Hebrews 10, 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called saints. You see that? They're called saints. The two words to be, I left out on purpose. They've been added. I think it detracts from it. The sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, both theirs and ours. We're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. And then thirdly, turn to Romans. You have it right there in front of you. Romans there 15. Romans 15, 16. We're sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. We're sanctified by God the Father, set apart in that eternal covenant of grace. Sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, His redeeming blood, called saints in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 15, verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16, we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 said, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at one other scripture. We've seen this many times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Those who were sanctified, how can I tell if I've been sanctified? If I've been set apart by the Father, sanctified by that one offering the Lord Jesus Christ has made for His people, covenant people, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, how can I know? Is it some kind of feeling that we seek for, or some kind of experience that we seek for? 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Here's how we know. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Those who were sanctified by the Holy Spirit believed the truth, the true gospel, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those sanctified, those saints, sinners, saved by God's grace, they believe the truth. The truth about who God is, holy. The truth about the way of salvation, grace alone. The truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He accomplished. The truth of what we are before God by nature, sinners. And what He makes us by His grace. Saints. Saints. And then thirdly, we find out back in our text, Psalm 148, we find out who they are. They're not only called His people, they're not only called saints, but they're called children of Israel. Children of Israel. Now, not all people back in ancient times, biblical Old Testament times, not all people were considered the children of Israel. I mean, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, the Hittites, they had no claim on God. Not at all. They were not considered the Israel of God, were they? They were not descendants of Jacob. That's where the name Israel comes from. Not all people were considered the children of Israel. Only the descendants of Jacob were. Even so, today, not all people of the earth are children of God. You heard me right. Now, that's not what I was taught when I was a young boy in religion. I was taught that God was the Father of all. That's not so. God is the creator of all. That is, He created Adam and all descended from Adam. But God is not the God, or God is not the Father of all people. Even so, not all people of the earth are called children of God. They're all part of Adam, of His creation in Adam, but only those chosen in Christ are the true spiritual seed of Abraham. He took not hold of the fallen angels. We're going to see Sunday in our Bible study from Hebrews 2. But he took hold of the seed of Abraham. And that's talking about the spiritual children, the spiritual seed of Abraham, those blessed in Christ Jesus. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now I'm reading there from Galatians 3. I told you to turn to Galatians 4. I did this on purpose now. I didn't misspeak here. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In Christ shall all the seed be called. Children of Israel, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Now, fourthly, back to the text. So they're His people, they're His saints, they're the children of Israel. You remember Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, you are no more your own, you're bought with a price. And they are people near unto Him. That's the fourth point. They're near unto Him. Now, how near are they unto Him? One old hymn writer said this, near unto God I am, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. Dear unto God I am, dear I cannot be. For in the person of His Son, I am as dear as He. Cleansed before God I am, pure I cannot be. For now the loveliness of Christ completely covers me. Dear and near unto God, nearer I cannot be. You see what he's saying there? In the person of His Son, I'm as near as He. A people near unto the Lord. Now, let me give you several things here. Near unto Christ by covenant union, by covenant relationship. He said, I and my Father are one. And he said that Christ and His people are one in Him. John 17. Dear unto Christ, secondly, by kinship union. He is our kinsman redeemer. For as much as his children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Near unto Christ by covenant union. Christ is in God. God is in Christ and we're in him. Near unto Christ by kinship union. Thirdly, near unto Christ by access union. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, and near unto the Lord Jesus Christ by an indwelling union. Christ in you, the hope of glory, a people near unto him. Nearer I cannot be. In the person of his Son, I'm as near as he. Now, lastly, what they do unto the Lord. What does that say there? Praise ye the Lord. What they do unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look back at Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. It is good to sing praises unto our God. For praise is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's right. It's proper. It is pleasant. That is our delight, to praise and honor and worship him. The Father seeketh us to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is our delight, to praise the Lord. I'm embarrassed and ashamed that I don't honor him as I should. It's my desire, but I find a lack of ability. It's my desire to do so, to honor and to praise the Lord in my heart before God, not to be seen of men. God looks on the heart. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Didn't we just sing that? Praising the Savior all the day long. When Paul writes Philippians 3, he describes the true Israel of God. Same people that he's talking about right here in verse 14. His people, his children, his saints, the people near unto him. The true Israel of God described as those who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence. They have no confidence in the flesh. Worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, one more scripture. This just came to mind. Turn to Isaiah 40, verse 11. Near unto him. How near? Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. That's pretty near, isn't it? I mean, he carries us on his shoulder. And he gathers us in his arms, but in his bosom. We're on his heart and in him. And he gently leads those that are with young. So believers do delight to praise the Lord Jesus Christ.